The second scripture reading today is from Luke 15, 11 through 14, and 17 through 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So that he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' May God add his blessings to the reading of his word."
I am assuming that you have probably heard several messages over the years on this parable. I'm actually going to share three messages on this parable from three different perspectives over the next 3 weeks. That's why I call it a parable in 3D. Usually when someone shares a message on this particular parable, the conversation usually is about the prodigal son, the son that left and did all those horrible things. And that's what the title in many of our Bibles, and that's not in the scripture itself, it's just the title that is given to a particular parable. It usually says something like a parable of the lost son or the prodigal son or something like that. Others have heard at times this parable is not really so much about the prodigal son as much as it is about the loving father. This father who loves both of his sons, and one son who takes off and leaves and squanders. He misses him. He agonizes over him. He wants so badly to have him come back. And when he sees him off at a distance, he runs towards the son and welcomes him back home, no matter what he has done, even though he took all of his inheritance and wasted it someplace else. But I rarely have ever heard anyone preach a sermon on the other son. The son that stays home, does his work, to whatever degree is obeying his father, and he speaks at the end of this parable. You see what's going on at the end of this parable. I want to start this week with the one that is least preached upon, and that's the older son. The one that's kind of a tag on at the end of the parable that we rarely hear anything about. And if we do hear anything about this son, it's usually kind of negative. You know, what a jerk. Can't you celebrate with your other brother? But if you could only put yourself in that person's shoes. You know, do you ever think, by the way, that life is unfair? Sometimes, don't you? Sometimes maybe you're on the unfair end of that. I remember back in second grade in Mrs. Bergsma's class. Y'all know Mrs. Bergsma. No, because you weren't in the same class I was. I was accused of yelling in the classroom when Mrs. Bergsma was out of the room. She'd gone down the hall for something. I think it was maybe to take care of another errant child in the classroom. And she heard someone yell in the classroom, and it sounded like my voice. I tell you, to this day, it was not me. But Mrs. Bergsma was one of those teachers that'll scare you to death. She comes back into the classroom, and she points right at me and says, "David, you're going down to the office." And then she changed her mind and says, "No, you're staying in for recess." No one tells me to stay in for recess. Come on, it's my favorite class. Recess. You know, I did well in that class. So I had to stay in for recess. She asked everybody else in the class. It was David who did it, wasn't it? Well, of course everybody's going to say yes, because Mrs. Bergsma, she's hot out of fear. I mean, anyway. So I even remember to this day, although I forgive Mrs. Bergsma, I only had to stay in one recess. But I had to stay in. It was unfair, because I wasn't the one who did it. I'm not even sure who was. I don't even remember, but it wasn't me. Now, on other occasions, I may have been the guilty party. But I wasn't that time, and life seemed to be unfair. I've told you on many occasions before, growing up, I usually, in a family of four boys and no girls, that I was oftentimes in the middle of whatever it is that might have been going on that deserved some kind of discipline. And there were times when they assumed it was me, and it wasn't me. Probably 70 to 80% of the time, they were correct, it was me. But sometimes I got blamed for something that I didn't do. My kids will tell you the same thing. There were times that I had probably blamed one of my children for something, and it was the other one that did it. Life isn't always that fair, is it? We try so hard to do the right thing, yet we get the hard knocks, and others don't. That reminds me of that text we read in the book of Psalms here earlier about the man who was trying to do everything he could possibly do to love God and serve God, and he felt himself slipping, and he looked around him. He was having a tough time. We don't know everything that was going on, but he was having a tough time. And he looked around and says, "All these evil folks, they're getting away with everything. Everything's going well for them. Nothing's going bad for them. Why is it that I'm trying so hard to do the right thing, and life's just kind of stinky right now? And those who are doing all these evil, yucky, horrible things, it seems to be going just fine for them right now." Life's that way sometimes, isn't it? I wanted to look at this parable and look at this one, this son, who apparently was somewhat faithful because he stayed home. The older son, the younger son, went away. And the younger son didn't just go away, but the younger said, "Before I leave, I want my inheritance," which usually is given after you die. But he wanted it now. "I want my inheritance. I want to go. I'm done." And he left. I won't spend much time with him, but he left. And he did the stuff that he did. And some of the stuff was awful stuff that he did. And he comes back. And when he comes back, and the father is so happy to have him back and has this big celebration for him, there's this other son that's hearing what's going on. This older son that hears what's going on. He sees that his brother has come back. And they're having a celebration. After he knew full well what he had done, in fact, he even shared with his father what he'd done. The son said, "I don't deserve anything. In fact, I don't deserve to come back as a son. Take me back as a slave. I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. I just want to be in your presence because I've really blown it in my life." The older son doesn't like this. Perhaps he felt like the forgotten one. The one who kind of sat back and was doing apparently what he was supposed to be doing to some degree. He was faithful behind the scenes, was doing what his father had kind of asked him to do. And yet, at this point in time, looking at his brother, he didn't have much to show for it. The celebration with the fatted calf went to his brother, who had done all these horrible things. And here he wasn't so horrible. and he didn't get anything, not even, as he says, a goat to celebrate. How would you feel if you were in that kind of a boat? I don't know. I feel like it's a little unfair. Now, I do want to go backwards here a little bit and say, you know, some who've said that this parable was something that was addressed partly to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees would be those who were representing this older son. You see, the Pharisees were the one who, they always had God. They were religious people, and they had God, and they were doing their thing, and yet God was taking in those who were pagans, and they're coming to him, and they didn't like that. And the Pharisees, I think, recognized that when this parable was being shared with them, that God may be speaking somewhat to them as the older brother, the way they were acting. How would you feel? How would you feel if that's the way it was with you? And I want to address this a little bit because I think we have a problem sometimes in the church. And I think sometimes in the church what we have is a lot of older brothers in the church who've always seemed to do it kind of right, never got into much trouble, have lived their lives fairly clean. There is nothing big out there that would show up on their resume or whatever it might be, and they feel like, I'm a pretty good person. And then they look at those who perhaps have not lived a life so pristine as them, and they're a little bit angry when they get the attention, because do you know what they've done? Do you know the kinds of things they have done? Do you know what their life was like before they came back? Why are you treating them with such excitement? And you look at me, I've been sitting here warm in a pew for all these years, and I don't get much attention at all. You guilty of that at all sometimes? Are you guilty of seeing yourself as better than someone else? Are you guilty of seeing yourself as self-righteous? Maybe even entitled to God's grace and entitled to all the things that would be a part of who we are if we're a part of the family of God. If we're a child of God, then we're entitled to all those things. I wonder how sometimes we may identify more with the older child than maybe we do sometimes with the younger child. You see, I grew up in a home that was a Christian home. My parents have always been very faithful Christians, although I still realize that even though my parents were great examples to me, that that didn't make me one. I still had to come to Christ myself. Yeah, I blew it from time to time, but for the most part, someone would have said, well, Dave was, he was okay, he did pretty good, he didn't do some real awful things in his life, and so I would be prone then in my life, as I'm living my life in the church, to think, well, you know, gee, maybe I'm better than that other person is. I'm missing something, because you know what this whole parable is about? This whole parable is about a loving God and forgiveness. It's about mercy and grace. And what we don't get sometimes is this mercy and grace was not just extended to the prodigal son, but mercy and grace was extended to the one who didn't think they really needed it. And they did. They did. When the father, finally looking at this older son, and he's saying, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because your brother, was dead and is alive again. He was lost. And now he's found. You see, I think in this parable, Jesus is trying to reach both those who are lost and the pagan and those who've lived their life in ways they should not live, and also reach those who think that they are so self-righteous and so good, and yet they aren't anywhere near God Himself. They need to repent as well. They need forgiveness as well. And sometimes We are so guilty when we find ourselves thinking that we are better than other people. That we don't let God's grace, in fact, we do let God's grace that's on others blind us to God's grace that is available to us as well. Because sometimes we don't think we need it. I've known people in my life who have been blessed with everything seeming to go so perfect and well. And thinking maybe they're entitled even in the Church of Jesus Christ because, you know, well, my marriage lasted. Or I never went to jail. Or my kids turned out pretty good. Or I grew up in the church, so I'm entitled. Folks, it's God's grace and God's mercy. We aren't entitled. And guess what? We're far from perfect, too. And maybe in this prodigal son parable that we're hearing here, that we need to hear this part of it, too, sometimes. Because you may be on this side of this whole thing and think, well, I didn't do those things, so I'm entitled. No, you're not. God's love and His grace and His mercy is big enough. That umbrella is so big that it can cover anyone and anyone. And the fact is, all of us need to be under that umbrella. Because none of us are good enough. None of us are anywhere near perfect. And so when you feel yourself getting that way, maybe you can remind yourself of that older brother. Looking at others and wondering why we're celebrating all of that. Because do you know how they used to be? Remind yourself. Do you know where we used to be without Christ? We need to be reminded in the church of this older brother. And not to act like the older brother. Instead, we need to realize as the older brother, I've always been around the church and I've been a part of the church and God's grace and His mercy have been extended to me and His protection has been extended to me. And yes, perhaps I have been able to avoid some of the pitfalls that maybe some other people have not avoided. But the point still is, God is the one who's been doing that. God is the one who's been helping me. God has been the one who's been extending grace and mercy and giving me the strength I need to do whatever it is I need to do. So I need to give thanks and praise and honor to God and to realize I am lost without Him, just like the one who knows they're lost. You see, the prodigal knew he was lost. The older brother didn't think they were. But they were lost too. And we need to recognize that. I pray as the Church of Jesus Christ that we could realize that we're a bunch of folks with a bunch of issues, all of us. But that with all those issues we bring to God in faith, that God helps us to get through all of those issues and draw us closer to Him. And instead of being a prodigal who's wandering away, we're the prodigal who's coming back. Instead of the one who feels so entitled, we should realize we aren't entitled to anything. It's only by God's grace and His mercy. Both of us, all of us, need God's mercy and His grace. The older child needed to be reminded that God was always with them. He never left them. He never forsook him. The older child needed to be reminded that all that God had was His. He said it right here in the text. That older child needed to be reminded that you're a sibling. This is a brother. This is a sister. See, we need to be reminded of that too. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. My child, your sibling was dead and is now alive. Your sibling was way out there in left field and now they're back. Be happy. Rejoice with them. Celebrate with them. The older child needed to be reminded that this brother of his was lost and is now found. We may more easily identify with the prodigal. I think sometimes in the church we need to speak to the older child. Because sometimes we're like that older child. We don't want to celebrate because the attention was taken off me. The attention should never be on me anyway. The attention ought to be on the Father who loves us without fail, no matter what. Whether you're good, bad, or otherwise, we have a Heavenly Father whose grace and mercy is sufficient. And remember that in this prodigal son. Because some of us may identify more with one or the other. And I fear too few times we don't realize we might be the older son. And we're not treating the other very well. Are we? Let's pray. God, help us to celebrate that we're a child of God. Help us to celebrate that our daddy never left us. Help us to celebrate that what he says is his is ours. Now, God, I realize this morning that there are some here that don't identify with the older brother. Too many times in our lives we identify with the younger one. But in both cases, it is about God's love, grace, and mercy. We don't know in the end of this story because the parable does not tell us whether the big brother ever came around, whether he finally acknowledged and recognized that he erred. Perhaps that was the case of a lot of the Pharisees who were so self-righteous and looked down upon those who weren't them. But God, we hope and pray, as the parable did for the prodigal, that the parable also did for the older brother. There was finally a recognition that it is entirely by the love, grace, and mercy of God that we are His. That He loves us in spite of ourselves. That we are in the exact same boat as the prodigal. We all need you. So we want to walk in this with each other and with you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.